Hey everyone, this is Jeffrey Crane Graham. Let's go back to the best.
Hey Grace.
Yeah, David?
Do you want to go back?
Back where?
Back to the best.
Back to the best?
Back to the best. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Back to the Best. I'm David.
And I'm Grace, and this is our podcast where we talk about all the best things from the 90s to the 2000s, which is also known as the best times.
To all of our first-time listeners, welcome, and to all of our former besties returning.
Welcome back. Hey, happy December.
Hey, happy December.
Have we put up an episode in December?
We sure haven't.
We sure haven't. Jingle bells.
Jingle all the way. Oh.
Christmas time is here.
And Hanukkah.
And Hanukkah. And it's we love the festive season, let's be honest.
Every holiday. Happy holidays. Whatever holiday you celebrate.
Happy holidays.
Happy of it.
Yeah. My husband is actually currently finishing watching a comedy special. I think it's Pete Holmes. But anyway, He was saying how saying like Happy New Year is just it's just the go-to. It should be everyone's go-to because for everybody celebrates the new year.
That's true.
It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Doesn't matter what you believe in. Everyone celebrates the new year. So Happy New Year almost.
You know what? Do you follow? Okay, we have a mutual friend in common who's actually been on the podcast forever ago, Taylor Spence. Do you follow her on Twitter?
Yes. I don't have Twitter.
Oh, duh.
Anymore.
So I
don't follow anybody.
If you go to her, she doesn't tweet except for the first day of every month. She'll write Happy December, Happy January, Happy February. And that's her only tweets. And it really brings me joy every first of the month when I open up Twitter and I just see Happy March.
Well, then that's nice. Because why not, right? She's just making people's day.
Happy.
Happy,
we love
happy.
Happiness.
We love it.
You know who makes us happy?
I was good.
Oh, how are you going to go into it? How are you going to go into it?
I was literally going to say, you know who makes us happy.
Wow. You do the reveal.
I swear.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay. I do just want to say who she's about to say is not on the podcast. We're just talking a story. Don't get excited. This is just a story. They are not here with us.
This is just a story. They're not here with us. Maybe one day.
Hopefully one day.
But David and I had a very cool thing happen.
You're the most dramatic.
We participated in it.
We're the most dramatic people.
David and I. No, we went to, it was a signing. It was a meet and greet. It was just that whole combo.
A pop-up.
Yes. For Allie and AJ. We met them. We sat next to them. We talked to them. The eye contact.
I don't think I've ever had a conversation with anyone with more direct eye contact than Allie and AJ.
Direct eye contact.
They cared.
They care. They really did. So they were doing a signing, this pop-up. They were doing this pop-up near us. And we were like, we'll go check it out. We'll just like pop up. Pop in, pop up. And we waited in a bit of a line.
With friends that we met.
We made new friends in line. And to say that it's a bond for life.
We all forgot to say goodbye to each other.
We all forgot to say goodbye. I mean, okay, to be fair, we had all waited in line for quite some time. And I think once we finally got up there to where Allie and AJ were, we were all a little bit exhausted, hungry, thirsty, and excited. So we just all tunnel visioned right to Allie and AJ.
But worth it for the eye contact.
Oh my God. Yeah, we sat down. A typical David and I. So we got in there. We were like, what do we say? What should we talk to them about?
We didn't even tell them that we were fans. I guess that was just a given.
I know. You're right. I guess it was a given. I think when we sat down, we like kind of said to them, this, it was a long day for them too. Mm-hmm. We were like, you have to be exhausted.
They said they were,
you know,
hitting
AJ was saying they were hitting a wall. Mm-hmm. They asked our names. We told them our names.
Mm-hmm. And then they said, hi, Grace and David.
And then they said, hi, Grace and David. And if you go to our Instagram at BTTB Podcast, you can see our photo with them.
It's a great photo. We're also photogenic.
So photogenic. And the Phil the Future cast was all there. Let's just say it.
We only saw one of them, but Phil we missed.
Phil we missed. We were standing in line though, and David and I looked over, and I was like, "Is that Pim from
sure enough.
Phil the Future?" But we didn't say it very loud because, again, our new friends. We didn't want it. We weren't sure if it was exactly, and we didn't want to cause hysteria.
Mm-hmm. We didn't want to scare Amy Bruckner, right?
Amy Bruckner, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't want to scare her.
No, but it was her, and she was there. We walked past her as we were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But then we saw on Instagram that Phil himself was there. Phil
of
the
men.
Future was there. Ugh. It looked like they all had like dinner together though or something.
I know. What was the caption on it? It was like, we're the only Disney Channel cast that doesn't have a DUI, a Snapchat scandal, or a podcast.
Which is so good. It made me think, are they the only one?
I know. Did anyone from Lizzie have an issue?
I don't think so.
I can't believe they would lie.
I cannot believe they would lie. Maybe we'll do an episode and we'll just dig back on this scandals. Disney Channel scandals. But no, it was just so cool. And of course,
cool.
Like right when you leave, you wish you could have like talked to them for longer.
Mm-hmm. Always,
you know?
playing it back in your head of like what we should have said.
I know. In that moment, you just kind of black out.
They told us that they want to make it a yearly thing. So on our yearly visit with them, we'll get better and better.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I would go back again and meet them.
Yes.
They were so nice. Seriously, they took time to really have conversations with people. It wasn't just like a one-off thing.
Yeah, it was actually very nice.
And then David got two of their vinyls?
Yes. Okay, so I got their new Christmas EP on vinyl, which the only place you could get it signed was at this pop-up collector's item. And and also it's a Christmas one. We love Christmas music, and it's going to go on the Christmas vinyl wall that we talked about a few weeks ago. And then
post a picture of your vinyl wall?
I didn't, but we should.
I think we should.
Look out for that.
Anyway, keep going.
And then I also got one of my favorite albums of theirs on vinyl, which is, of course, A Touch of the Beat Gets You Up on Your Feet, Gets You Out, and then Into the Sun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A touch in your feet gets you out.
A touch of the beat
gets you up on your feet.
Beat gets you out and then
out
into
the
sun.
It
just really
say.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Did you add it to your wall yet or not yet?
Not yet, but I will probably right after this.
Okay.
But okay. Enough about us and our eye contact with Allison and AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Which. Real quick, back to that.
Yeah, let's go back. Because were you going to say, we talked about this in line. What is AJ short for?
I'm Googling it.
Are we going to Google? Should we just look it up?
Amanda Joy.
They're just great. We just love them so much.
And someone else we love.
There is someone else we love. There is someone else we know.
I really want us to start releasing videos of more of the intros, because you know, if you watch our videos, it's always it's always clips of the guest, but there is a moment every intro where we both realize, here's how we transition into talking about the guest.
We know that it's coming, and then twice in this recording have we both went to say the exact same thing for the transition.
I mean,
and
happy.
We just know it's coming.
It's December and we are in sync, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we love the band In Sync
and
another great Christmas album. And we love Jeffrey Crane Graham.
We really, really do though. So I met Jeff one time.
Yeah.
So I don't like know him, but
I think it was my birthday party. Years ago.
Yeah.
At our friend Caroline's.
Yes. But we just love him. I mean, him and I just went off on a tangent about the Great British Baking Show. I mean, we got along so, so well. And we said in the episode, we're probably just going to have him guest star at times.
Oh my God. Jeff has been one of my best friends since I moved to LA. It all started, I interned with his wife. She was not his wife at the time, but now is his mm-hmm. wife. And so she mm-hmm. introduced me to Jeff. We really hit it off. We like one weekend, like last minute, we like just drove over to Vegas on a whim. Great time.
So fun.
But he has written and directed this incredible movie. It's called Always Lola. Quick description. Five high school graduates mourn the loss of their best friend on their annual camping trip, discovering new truths surrounding her death. And I say this to him, but like, whenever you hear like, oh, your friend made a movie or like your friend made something, you go to it expecting to have to like be like fake nice a lot of the time. But this mm-hmm. is a real incredible movie. It is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 100% rating, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. It is so good. Everyone who's acting in it is incredible. It's one of those where you're going to love every single character in the film. And you can rent it pretty much anywhere you rent your movies, like, you know, Amazon Prime, YouTube, Apple, whatever. Always Lola. Mm-hmm. And we talked to him all about it. So you're going to hear about it in a second. I won't keep blabbing.
We love when you blab. But listen, we both blab. But yes, we hope you guys enjoy this episode. If you're also like an aspiring filmmaker, this is a great one for you. Because oh, yeah. Jeff talks a lot about the process. And he did it himself. Like, this was him. This was his vision. And he put this movie together. So we asked him questions about that, too. So if that interests you, make sure you keep on listening.
Here he is, Jeffrey Crane Graham.
Hi, guys.
How's it going? I do want to start this by saying that Jeff was one of our very first Instagram comments. I still remember the day that Grace and I posted for the first time our very first back-to-back photo, and we said what the podcast was going to be about. And I remember so clearly the first comment popped up and Jeff wrote, "This is the most David podcast I've ever heard."
100%. And look where it's taking.
And look at us now.
Look at us now. Jeff, the people want to hear about you.
So we, yes, of course, Jeff. Know you. But we always like to start off by asking everyone, because everyone has a different story of their journey in this entertainment industry. So we would like to start off by asking you how you decided you wanted to get in the entertainment industry and just kind of like your journey to where you are now.
Sure. I feel like this will be some crossover with Back to the Best Talk, because part of it is like love when I was a kid, right? Like, I feel like most people who work in entertainment, there was like some references for them or things that were like, oh, now I want to be in that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I say there are two movies that I feel like really kind of were meaningful to me as I was deciding what I wanted my life to look like. And the first one was the movie Big Fish, the Tim Burton movie. That movie was the movie that I say like really made me fall in love with like film. And then Little Miss Sunshine is a very important movie
so
for me.
Good.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. And I would say like that movie is the first movie that I finished it. And I thought like someone wrote that. Like that was the first movie that really like made it click for me that like the words were on a page and actors were given, the actors weren't just like making things up, right? And like even it's funny, I think, especially in feature films, it's the story is that like the director is the author of the movie. Whereas I would push back and say like the writer is a really, really important part of why a movie is the way it is. It's probably because I also write. And that's, I think, even harder than directing often. But Little Miss Sunshine, I finished it and I like really had this conscious realization that like the directors were Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Harris, but the Valerie Ferris, it's one of those two. But see, I know the writer, it's Michael Arndt. And like, that was when I was like, this is a really, really cool thing. So that was, I feel like those two movies, I started writing after I saw that movie and here I am today.
I have not thought about that movie in so long, but Little Abigail Breslin.
It's a great rewatch. It's very funny and very moving. It's really hard to do tears and laughs in the same movie. And that movie can be hysterical and very dark too. It's like a great cocktail. And I think a high degree of difficulty to pull a movie off like that.
Do you still have the first thing that you ever wrote?
You know what? I don't. It's this really terrible script about a couple who falls in love in Paris. Okay. And
we're in.
I know. That's about the only part of it that's good. I remember there's like a scene, there's like a fart joke in it. It's like the tone is all wrong, right? It's like it just But I had sent it on an old email that's like, I can't access anymore. So
that's the worst.
Yeah.
I know, like forever. Your old AOL emails. It's like, what is the password? I don't even know. Where exactly. is it? It's not even a thing anymore.
No. Mm-hmm. Rocket. No. I think it was my student email. So too bad.
At least it wasn't good. At least you remember what it was about.
Barely. Remember, I remember even at the time writing a scene and like being so excited and doe-eyed, but also being like, I don't know if this is good. Like having both feelings at the same time.
Did it, like, was it
somewhere?
Was it based off of anything? Like I have, writers fascinate me. And I feel like I say this whenever we have writers on mm-hmm. because they do, because it fascinates me. Like I try to think for myself, things that happen in my life, it's like, okay, the story part of it, you could maybe write down, but it's dialogue. It's putting names to faces. It's creating characters. Do you find that you tend to base characters off of mainly people you knew in life, or is it more like an imagination comes to play, or is it kind of a marriage of the two?
Interesting. I think it depends on the character. Like, I think I've written characters into my work that like I'm really pulling from people I know. Mm-hmm. I think one way to think about making characters is like you can create characters that feel like they're emotionally autobiographical in some way. So with this movie that just came out this week, it's a coming of age drama and it's called Always Lola. I can get it anywhere. Movies are sold. Yes. It basically follows these five characters who are mourning the loss of their best friend. And it's loosely based on my experience losing my friend. But I always say it's more like it's emotionally true rather than like literally true. Mm. And the five characters sort of represent the complicated feelings I had unpacking the death of my friend. Mm-hmm. So one way to think about characters is like, it's a person with a strong belief system or point of view that may show up in flashes in your life. If you're like angry or upset, or you're feeling particularly funny or drunk or whatever, the version of you that, you know, cause we feel like we have a million versions of ourselves in our life, depending on where we are, who we are, what age we are. And like mm-hmm. trying to pull from those corners of yourself is a great way, I think, to at least set a foundation for a character. And then you can infuse people, you know, or experiences you've had from others to keep creating that character.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long did it take you about to write for this project?
It's funny. This one was fast, which is never how it is for me. I think this was my sixth feature I've written, the Always Lola. And I think the first draft I like banged out in like 2 weeks, which like never happens. Wow. But then I was rewriting it. I like doing table reads and then getting notes and then rewriting. So I banged out a vomit draft and then I rewrote it probably over the course of a month. And then we had a table read pretty quick. And then I did rewrite all through that year. And I kind of put it in a drawer before we made it. But I would say like you're always rewriting up until production, but I would say like the real development, like meat of the development process was like a year.
Wow. And then when it came to like casting and picking who you wanted in this movie, how involved were you in that process?
I was pretty much any question that's like, how involved were you? I'll just be like,
the whole
pretty
thing.
Jeff. It's just Jeff. Yeah.
Just because of the nature of the, you know, in some ways I hope for my next movie, it's not that way because I hope it's a little bigger with studio support and more department heads and everything. But this is my like debut micro budget feature that was mostly self-produced. I will say three of the characters I had written specifically for actors I knew. Mm-hmm. And so they were pretty much, I had them audition just to like formalize it and have chemistry with the other actors and everything. But pretty much from the start, they were, if they said yes, I wanted them. The other two were folks that I knew and had worked with. And I think maybe even subconsciously or, you know, intangibly were in my head as I was writing. Mm-hmm. And then that sixth character who I think is, you could argue, is the lead of the movie. I totally cast her just traditional route. So like went to agencies, did a big, auditioned a ton of people and found our Catherine. Yeah,
wow.
She's great in it too. She's amazing.
And we have to acknowledge the fact that it debuted this week with a 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which congratulations.
Thanks so much. Yeah, we're like screenshot this now. Just because it could go down. It's funny. We know it won't get higher than that. And it's likely to possibly get lower than that. So it's been really exciting. We got five very generous, actually six now. Seven. We're getting like good reviews, which is great. I think people are responding to it, which is really nice. And, you know, I'm excited for me.
I was going to say a small puppy. Dog just walked through your door and it is so cute.
I want to pitch her up, but she's literally the cutest dog. I'm staying at my friend's house in Montclair, New Jersey. I am going to ring the door real quick. I'll be right back.
Yes, but yes,
for the listeners, I got to tell you, she's the cutest little Pomeranian you've ever seen.
Oh my God.
I mean, it really is like such an amazing movie. I remember I went to one of the LA screenings. I think you did a few.
I think our premiere, Dave. It was so good. Fun.
I sat right in the front. And you know, like, I feel like anybody who works in the entertainment industry, like, you have friends that's like, hey, come watch my short or come watch this. And then, like, a lot of times you're just like, that was great. And I remember at the end of it, I was sitting next to my friend Grace. Sorry, Grace, a different Grace.
That's okay. It's totally fine. We're allowed to have other friends. Fine.
And we both, like, looked at each other and I was just like, that was incredible. And we both just kept going on and on about how amazing of a movie this was and that, like, we couldn't wait to see people see it. And I'm so happy now because then, you know, you had to deal with the strike and I know you were supposed to release it a while ago. Yeah. And so I'm just so happy that it's now out there in the world for everybody to see.
We did get a headline that I felt like was kind of passive aggressive. That was like, always Lola finally available.
But you know what? No, I'm going to turn that to a positive because it's finally because everybody's been waiting to see it.
That's right.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm sensitive right now because it's our release week. So I'm like, what does that mean? So you're right.
Oh, and there's nothing worse than like reading anything about yourself or anything about like something that you have done. And especially because this is such a personal project to you.
It's just been fun. I like was very nervous about it. So I'm glad people seem liking it. And yeah, it was fun to make. And, you know, David knows my wife, Laura, who is a producer, our executive producer on the project. She is the best. She's my better half in every way. Actually, Laura is the reason I know David. So among the many things I love about her, she connected me with one of my favorite people. But so working together on that was really fun. I feel like that was, it could have gone a number of ways and it was mostly great, which is awesome.
Well, yeah, because you guys had such a limited time to film it too.
12 days, 11 days, actually. It was so fast.
Which is wild.
Hold on.
Because watching it, you would never, I was shocked whenever I, after we watched it, found out that you did that in 11 days.
It was fast.
How did you do, I'm very thrown by that. How did you do that in 11 days?
You know, it happens more than you would think with micro budget movies. Cause the nice thing about a 2-week window is it's a great time to ask people to like, the thing with a micro budget movie inevitably is you just don't have quite enough funding to give everyone like a rate that would match like higher level union rates. Mm-hmm. So that 2 weeks isn't asking too much of someone's time, you know, for a big commitment. And to be clear, like we paid our crew and, you know, we had a ULB rate for the cast and everything, but it's the kind of thing where you can't ask for too much time. So in short, if you limit your locations, you can really kind of make it happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So typically with micro budget movies, you'll see like a limited location situation. And, you know, this was a camping trip and we got really lucky because we found an Airbnb that looked like a campground. So like there's a scavenger hunt element in the movie. And like, so there were trails and like a fire pit. And then we shot at my university on campus. And the great thing about a university, especially like I went to a Midwest state school in the middle of nowhere. So like there are like bars and buildings and dorms and like libraries and all these locations that are close. And our crew was small enough that we were kind of nimble. So if you, you know, can knock out 8 or 9 pages a day, which yes, it's a lot, but then in 10 days, you know, you shoot 100 pages. So it's one way to think about it.
Yeah. Can I ask, how are you open to improvisation with your work? Like, I was just wondering if you kind of 8 pages maybe in a day, is that a lot dialogue heavy for the actors, or is there opportunity for improv as well and just kind of see how it goes?
Yeah. I mean, in theory, I would have been totally open to improv. I think because this is like a drama, I feel like improv really suits a comedy set because like there's more space to like explore jokes. But with this, I'm very fine with the actors changing dialogue if they want, if they feel like it's more comfortable in their mouth. Because sometimes I'll say no, like if there's a line that I feel very specifically about, I'll ask them to kind of do it as written. But most of the time, like if they want to kind of change the way something's written, but the meaning of the line is the same and it sounds better in the actor's mouth, like I'm totally all about it. as long as like for continuity and editing and stuff, if it changing too much, it can get tricky in post. But yeah, I think like we didn't totally have time for a ton of improv. Mm-hmm. And you know what I did? The other thing, Grace, is I had a lot of conversations with the actors before we got to set. I sent them the shooting script like very early and basically told them like, I'd love to talk with you all before we get to set about like how you feel about your character and like what you think of the pages. And if you have rewrite suggestions, you can offer them. I can't promise I'll take them, but like, I definitely want to hear. And 95% of the time I would take any kind of ideas the actors threw at me because actors are smart and mm-hmm. they'll see the movie a very specific way. So in that way, the actors had a chance to have some authorship in the movie, mm-hmm. even if it wasn't through improv.
That's awesome.
That also just shows how amazing these actors are too. The fact that they were able to memorize all of these 9 pages for a day and then learn the new ones for the next day.
I was like blown away. I mean, I knew they were good actors, but like I'd be watching scenes like people are going to like watch these amazing actors and like want to credit the director, like the direction. And I'm like, it's honestly, I just like said action and they were
and they did it. They did the thing.
I mean, it is true. I think 90% of directing is casting, right? Like if you really, you need to really understand the material and really have a vision for the tone of the movie and create chemistry amongst the cast. But then once you get to set, obviously I had opinions and I was involved in the production, but in some ways, especially, you know, if we didn't have a ton of time for takes, you really are relying on the actors and all the work you did in pre-production because you're limited on time. So you call action and you give notes, but they were incredible. It was really fun to work with that group.
Like a full team effort, it sounds like.
Totally. It's team effort. That's exactly yes. right. Yeah.
And then tell us what the process was like then to get it from, you know, you've shot the movie, you've edited it, you've screened it at different theaters. Then how did you get it on streaming?
Yeah. One of our festivals, actually the one you came to, David, in near Culver City, it was the Marina Del Rey Film Festival. There is an independent sales agent who usually keeps tabs on that festival. And we ended up winning that festival, which was very cool. So he was interested in the movie. So he kind of came to us and we talked to him. I think I'm remembering that right. Yeah. either way, we connected with an agent named Glenn Reynolds of Circus Road Films. So if there are any independent filmmakers out there, he's great. And he gave me permission to use his name on podcasts. So,
oh, great.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And we like worked with him and signed, and then he went out to all the distributors. So it's a weird process because like he'll go out to like 40 different distributors. And I had like a spreadsheet as he's getting yeses and nos. And I think we got 3 offers and then we went with our favorite one. So
nice.
Yeah, it was weird because we signed last fall, but because of the strikes and timing and everything, we're just now coming out in November. So yeah.
I feel like this is like a perfect movie time though. I feel like all the best movies come out during the holidays.
Yeah,
I think that's right. It's a cozy kind of feel good movie too. So I think it's a nice. Can you guys hear that siren?
No.
No. Well, there you go. it's kind of a like a cozy feel good movie that I think is great to sit around for the holidays and check mm-hmm. out. So yeah, I've like learned so much too. I think that's the other thing is I really feel like your first feature is kind of like film school. And that's what I've been like in some ways most grateful for is just like having a really deep understanding of what it means to make a feature film and sell it. So. That's been,
oh my God. Yeah.
Oh my God. I really love hearing about the process and what it entails, because for a lot of people, you see movies in whether it's on your laptop, wherever you're watching it, whatever streaming service. And you personally, it's like, how does that happen? How does it get there? Like truly, like what are the building blocks? Where do you start? But like you said, sometimes it can be at a festival, little like kind of anybody can make a movie. People shoot things on their iPhones these days, but it's kind of how it gets to the big screen. I put that in quotes, the big screen is really fascinating to me because it's not black and white.
Mm-hmm. Well, totally. And actually to support what you're saying, Grace, like if you have any filmmakers who are listening, I know it can feel very discouraging, but like there are movies that go to streaming that people are shooting on their iPhones. So like, you know, I think that when you're thinking about the idea, like you said, Grace, like it is hard and it's a huge process and it can take years, but like also there's no barrier to entry anymore. You know, like if you have a deep yearning and you really want to try it, I say go for it. Excuse me. I just had some pizza. Sorry guys.
It's okay. It's worth it. Always have a pizza.
I can pick that up. So I'm not burping in the ears of your podcast.
You
listeners.
Tell us, we'll keep it. I think I've burped a lot of episodes.
You have.
Keep
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I have.
We're going to
keep the burp
to the editors, which is us,
which is
keep
us.
It?
Keep it.
David and Grace, please keep the bird. Thank you. But yeah, I think and in so many ways, rather than going in and being like, we have to sell the movie, just go in and do your best work and put your all into it. Because like Laura and I never thought we'd be on streaming when we went out for this. So that's been a huge surprise. Like, and we had no expectations. So this has been amazing.
And the fact that you can say your first movie, you got multiple offers too from different studios.
Yeah. We so did. Cool. Yeah. You're right. It sounds cool when you put it that way.
Oh my God. It is cool.
It is so cool, Jeff. Remember, thanks, Jeff, guys. Everybody. He's going to make it to the big time. Whatever those are anymore.
One day we're going to ask him to come on Back to the Best and he's going to be too busy.
He's going to be like,
I was, you know what I was just about to say? One day. Was I hope I'm always invited back, no matter where I am. That's I'm dying to come always. On this show.
Open invite.
Oh my gosh.
Anytime.
Open invite.
The best. I want to get an Entertainment Tonight.
Yes, Jeff. It's going to happen.
Hell yeah. Only if I come on Back to the Best, though. That's the thing.
To our Entertainment Tonight listeners, can you write this up?
Yeah, just tweet reply this, and then we'll see if I get it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I liked write this up, David. That was good. Just write it up.
Write it up.
Write it up, and then it's up. It's there.
But everybody, go stream Always Lola right now. Is it, where's the best place for people to find it?
Tell everybody where to find it.
For those listening, I know you guys are fans of like nostalgic 90s, 2000s culture. To me, it feels like a real, true like teen movie, like the kind we loved
it
in the late
90s. It really does.
So,
yeah.
I will say, just to incentivize your listeners a little bit, I think it's the kind of show you'd really like, or kind of movie you'd really like. So it's called Always Lola, and it is streaming on Amazon, Apple, YouTube, and Google Play are the four where you can find it. If you like type into your TV, it'll show up. That's what I say.
Oh yeah.
So, it's I think it's like $4 to rent. So just skip your Starbucks and watch the movie.
Yeah, I really cannot recommend it enough.
Thanks, David. Well, I really appreciate it. Having you there at the premiere made me feel like less nervous and safe because you were in the room.
Aww. Also, you've more than sold out the premiere. It got to the point where it was like standing room only in that theater.
It was a wild festival. And I will say, one of the best parts about making an ensemble movie, all six of the main actors are equally important in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because they all feel invested in the success. So I love like a single protagonist driven movie, but then it gets a little lonely because it's just like you and that actor. Whereas like, it really is the six of us plus me, which is so much fun. So that helped us sell it out because all six of them were like, let's pack the theater.
Well, you did it.
We did
it. Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff, I hope people keep watching and watching and watching and sharing and watching.
Me too.
It's
that
just
would
amazing.
Be great. Thanks, Grace.
You just
I appreciate
deserve
it.
You deserve it.
Well, I'm proud of that. And the cast is amazing too. So that's a fun chance to watch a group of great up and coming actors kick butt. Another reason to check it out.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone's amazing in it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dave. All right. We're going to talk about 90s
now. We're going, we're going back to the best.
Yes. I was joking. You can keep this in the show. I was telling David, I was like, I know I got to promote the movie and I am really proud of it, but like, we can just skip it and talk about Rugrats. Like, let's just.
I said, absolutely.
We can do
not.
It all. We can make it
we can
all.
We can do it all. We can do
Don't
it all.
Don't worry. There's room for everything.
Yeah.
Of course, we have to go back and ask you about some of your. You've mentioned two movies that you loved growing up, but we have to go back and ask you about everything you loved growing up. So let's start off with some of your favorite TV shows from the 90s and the 2000s.
When I think about me on my little couch, kind of like in a onesie, watching TV in the 90s, I do think like Rugrats and Doug feel very important. Like those two specifically, like the... Like that's very important to me. The...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, that's like burned into my brain. And then Doug was, those two like ran at the same time, I think, like in the same time block.
Yeah.
Great so I'd block. Say like, I immediately, were you guys Rugrats and Doug people?
Oh,
without a
sure.
doubt. Yeah.
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 I never,
do you think
ever,
you're more
ever
of a
wanted...
Tommy or a Chucky?
I'm definitely more of a Chucky.
I am too.
I know. I feel like I am. Tommy was just so brave.
So brave. I was never brave.
I was never that brave to lead all the babies.
And I had glasses, so I immediately
just connected
immediately
with
bonded
Chucky.
With Chucky.
I feel like I'm a Chucky that masquerades as a Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like I pretend I'm a Tommy, but I'm really a Chucky. Obviously, like we love Chucky and Tommy, but all of us know that the coolest character in Rugrats was Susie Carmichael for sure.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
She always
so cool.
like came in to save the day. Like, I feel like Angelica was so mean. And you're like, is every 5-year-old girl this mean? And then Susie was just like the hero of the show.
Yeah. She
was
the secret. Air.
Yes. Loved Susie. Rocking the cool dress.
Yes.
She was the best. You mentioned Cynthia, David. That doll is like burned into my brain.
Oh, and the theme song.
Cynthia. She's a really cool dancer. Cynthia. Boogie to the groove now.
Rugrats. And then Doug, what I liked about Doug was like, it was a little more like serious. Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like it was like more like a truthful look at like being, a, I mean, how old were they?
Was he in high school in that?
It feels like it.
Yeah. But as a kid, I never thought about how old people were.
I know.
You know, what's also funny as a kid, because I never thought about the fact that like Doug made a switch from Nickelodeon to then Disney until we started this podcast and we're like looking back at all this stuff. Because to me, it was always just like, I just watched Doug. I didn't just really pay attention to what channel I was watching.
Yeah.
When did Doug go to Disney?
The movie. Doug the movie was a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm. That's, I don't know how I feel about that.
It's weird.
I know. Because you would never ever think that it's a Disney show at all. It's very Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I feel like Disney, like, there's no Patty Mayonnaise on Disney, you know?
No.
Ugh,
what an iconic voice. Anytime I would watch, what was she in? Orange is the New Black. I could hear was Patty Mayonnaise.
I was like, Patty Mayonnaise was arrested for shooting someone in her cannabis
Patty would
farms.
Never.
I was like, no.
Not Patty Mayonnaise.
Is it ever weird for you all to think about the fact that our favorite child characters were voiced by like literal adults?
Adults.
Like, it's a weird thing. Like Patty, I like had like a 10-year-old crush on her and she was like a 52-year-old menopausal woman. Like, it's like like interesting.
I think that that's been one of like, anytime we have a voice actor, like we had the voice of Angelica and Dee Dee from Rugrats, and like watching this person then suddenly sound like the cartoon is so surreal. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. I can't wait to go listen to those episodes.
And Doug. We had the voice of Doug.
Mm-hmm.
This is why your show is like the best. I'm like, WTF with Marc Maron, back to the best with Grace David. This is back to the best. I'm trying to think of what, I mean, like, obviously, like, Lizzie McGuire feels important.
Like, we love Lizzie.
Mm-hmm. Who were, when you think about y'all's experience with Lizzie McGuire, like, what stands out? Like, what is a thing that, like, you hear Lizzie McGuire, like, what pops in your brain?
I mean, immediately, I feel like my first thought is the movie, because I just immediately think of her performing What Dreams Are Made Of and how many times I watched that movie over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, just anything Hilary Duff did just stands out in my head. I loved single movie that she did. She was a very important part of, I think, all of our childhood.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can I be honest about what episode always jumps out with Lizzie McGuire?
Yeah.
It's the bra. It's the episode. 100%. I've told this story. I was sitting on the couch with my mom and I wanted a bra, but I was too embarrassed to ask. And I watched that episode when she's like, I want a bra. And I remember that was when I had that conversation with my mom. And it was so helpful to me because I wanted a bra. Hello.
That's amazing. Yeah. That is really cool. It's so funny for me because I was scandalized by that episode. I was like, they said bra.
They said bra.
Disney Channel.
I was like, whoa.
It's like that. It's that episode. And then Spy Kids when she says shiitake mushrooms that I almost just fell off my chair. Because I was like, she's about to say a curse word.
Yeah.
Do you know what I remember? They said damn in Boy Meets World. Because Boy Meets World is another very important one for me.
So good.
It was Sean's dad. And there's one episode, you know, he goes, fine, I'll call the damn guy. And I was like,
what did he say?
I turned off the TV. I looked around, made sure no one's seen it. I was like, I can't watch the show anymore. I was like, literally, like, I guess no more Boy Meets World. That show could get spicy.
The episode where Corey and Topanga fall asleep at the school.
Oh, yeah. I was like, is she pregnant now?
I know.
Is that how that works?
I remember like I don't know if it's even too spicy for the show, but the episode and they're married, they get married, but they talk about having kids and then Corey jumps on the bed and says, let's make them. And I was like, there's a lot. Yeah. And then Angela, I remember she and, cause did she date Sean?
Yes.
Yes.
They, I remember, would get spicy too.
Oh yeah.
But still love that show. Just, I don't know. I don't know how young you should be watching Boy Meets World, you know?
Disney Channel would never show any of these. I mean, I guess.
What's crazy?
It aired reruns on Disney, right? But it was originally ABC.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember because he said, I'll call the damn guy while I was watching Disney. And I was like, Mickey Mouse. I was like, you
so
cannot.
Disappointed.
But it's funny, you think now with Marvel on Disney Plus, it's a whole new bag of bones.
It's totally different. Yeah.
And don't get us started on the fact that Disney Plus took away the Lizzie McGuire reboot because it was too adult.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let Hillary kind of tell the story of Lizzie today that she wanted to.
Yeah.
It's interesting times. Were there, what else were moments when y'all were young where you're like, this, I shouldn't be watching this?
Quickly, all of the ends of all that when they would have the performers. My mom was like, they're like, we're afraid they were going to say a curse word or some like something with like profanity. So it was sometimes like we'd watch all that. And then the performers at the end, we couldn't watch them.
You're so right. That's interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. You know what? I think it is. It's actually a really cool element of all that was like, it sort of embraced hip hop culture. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in the 90s, hip hop had a reputation for being like Biggie, Tupac, like feud, mm-hmm. gang, you know? And of course, that's not all that hip hop is. But I think like my parents would hear like Coolio opening up all that and be like, should you be listening to this?
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah.
That's a really interesting point, Grace. And like TLC would come on and like, you know, it felt like I was like a little cooler and older when I watched all that. I felt like could be a little edgy sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you guys think about all that cast members, who jumps out?
Lori Beth Denberg.
I'm like, is there anyone else?
Oh,
her yelling, God. This is a library is like very important.
Oh, it stands out.
We used to just cackle at her. She was so funny.
Was Vital Information the one where she would like scream facts?
Mm-hmm.
That
she
was
like sat behind that desk.
It was a it was like Weekend
Update. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
It was like exactly like a Weekend Update. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a fun. I mean, I also loved the girls' room. Was that the Amanda show?
That was the Amanda show.
The girls' room was the Amanda show. Yeah.
Which Amanda, Ear Boy would have been all that, I think. Mm-hmm. But Amanda, I sometimes will conflate Amanda show and all that. There was definitely some shared.
The sketch comedy.
Because she went from all that to the Amanda show too. So it all kind of is just a blur.
Oh, Dear Ashley. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Oh, and she's on her bed. Yeah.
Yes.
Dear Ashley. That's me. Yes. Dear Ashley.
God, Amanda Bynes is another one that everything she did was amazing.
She was really, it's sad to think because like she was so talented.
So talented. So funny.
I know.
I mean, her ability to play those different characters. And she was so young when she had her own show.
Yeah.
That is so much pressure to be under. Yeah.
A lot of these, it's like
carried
they, it just like they were just like famous at like too early before people cared enough about everybody's well-being.
I know. It's sad. It is so I mean, it's so thankful that today it's way more important, if you will. And they are taken care of, hopefully better. But
did you guys read Jeanette McCurdy's book?
Yes.
I know you listened to the audiobook.
I did the
audiobook.
Yeah. I tried
it
to act
amazing.
Like I read.
I mean, I couldn't believe what she went through. You know, it was a different time for those kid actors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
we
like,
just had no idea.
And there was something about her never saying his name, just always saying like the creator that made it stand out so much more too.
You know what though, that creator did Drake and Josh was another show.
He created great shows.
Great shows.
It's so sad when you find out that someone
is the Woody Allen of children's television.
I know. Oh, it's like Drake and Josh is so good.
Who is safe anymore?
Drake and Josh was my favorite thing. Was Josh repeating things? Right, he'd go like, "I love this pizza." Pizza.
Yes. Every time.
I thought it was the funniest. Josh Peck is an Josh Peck pushes the button in Oppenheimer. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I haven't seen it.
No, because we could not get tickets. Every single theater was sold out when it came out.
So picture you're watching Oppenheimer. And this isn't a spoiler because like we all know what the movie's about.
Yeah, it's a true story.
Yeah.
When they test the bomb, you see all these characters. All of a sudden, you look over, it is Josh Peck pushing the button to drop the bomb.
Did he have a role in the movie before or he's just there to push the button?
He's just there to push the button. Maybe Chris Nolan was a huge Drake and Josh fan, but it's so
funny
because
be it.
Cillian Murphy is like, it's time. And Josh goes like, should I do it? should I do it? I like so wanted him to be like, push the button. I just like wanted him to Josh so hard. He's like so serious in it, but he's good. It was just a very weird moment.
What a random cameo.
Yeah, that is so random.
Okay, can I ask you guys? We talked a little bit about like the things that you felt like, should I be watching this? What was your relationship with MTV?
Okay, I was about to, whenever you asked, you know, like something that we shouldn't have been watching, that was the one I got in trouble for watching, the Real World Road Rules Challenge. I guess now it's the fact that it's still on now is just the challenge though. But I remember they were like, you know, MTV could use cuss words or whatever. And my mom walked in and was just like, what are you watching? And I was like, I just like it for the challenges.
I feel like for us, it was the same thing. But the thing that really got you to your parents was the sound of the bleep. When they would bleep the words, they weren't even saying the words, but my mom would hear like beep, beep, and she like knew it was something we shouldn't be watching.
That's a great observation, especially like during the storm. Like if someone gets mad, it's like beep, 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 beep. All of a sudden, it's like Morse code in your living room, and you're like cueing mother to tell you to turn the TV off.
But then, TRL, that was like I was allowed to watch TRL.
I wasn't even.
No. Was it just a stream of music videos though? So similar to like
it's back when it was actual music television.
Yeah.
Carson Daly.
Yeah.
Got to start. I got to say another important one for me. This was more like early, like 10 through 14, America's Next Top Model.
Oh my God.
I never watched that one.
Really? Yeah. That surprises me, David.
I know.
You would love it. There was some icon. I mean,
crazy.
One that always jumps out is when Tyra freaked out. Was it Tiffany?
Oh, it's Tiffany Paul. No, not Tiffany.
We were rooting for you.
Oh,
we
I think everyone's seen that clip.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You felt like crazy. Your mom was screaming at you.
I know. And it's so funny because at the time we were like, you go, Tyra, you tell that girl. Now I watch it. I'm like, what's wrong with this woman?
Oh my God. It wasn't even just like a little bit upset. It was really as if it was off camera, a personal conversation between Tyra and someone in her family. It was so intense.
Yeah. That show, some of the stuff, we don't need to get too into it, but you look back on some of the political correctness of that show and you're like, how did this air on TV?
How did it? Oh, I used to watch it. They would replay seasons of that on like Lifetime. I don't remember what channel it was, but you could just on a random Saturday watch a season from
start to finish. I think it was VH1. That's why probably I brought it up.
Because
I think it was like if that was when I was like a little older. So I was like, I'll watch MTV and VH1. And they would do those marathons. Yeah. The thing I loved was Tyra took it so seriously. Like she was the stakes of the show felt like, are we going to cure cancer? And it was like, which girl took the best photo? But she would, whenever it was elimination, she would go, two beautiful girls stand in front of me. Mm-hmm. And then she'd be like,
so dramatic.
Yeah. One is a brilliant, brilliant thinker, but can't take a photo for her life. And one, she has the talent, but no drive. It was like so intense. It was just so, and I always treated it. I was like, this is the most important decision that will ever get made.
Like whose photo is she going to turn? Is she going to show?
Incredible. The music. Mm-hmm. It was well-produced. I will say that. Mm-hmm. Very well-produced show.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's not still on, right? No,
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I feel like it did have like a comeback. I don't know if it had a comeback of any sort, but
I don't either. They call them cycles though. I remember instead of seasons.
Oh
yeah, you're right.
They'd be like, we're on cycle 12.
Oh yeah. Like,
that's pretentious, but.
Oh, and the week that they all were really put to the test is when they had to film the commercials and they had to act at the same time. Oh, David, you have to watch it really. Cause it was not just modeling. They now had to be a spokesperson for something and act. Oh. Well,
this sounds a lot like RuPaul.
It was a real turning point.
I've never seen RuPaul, but I would guess probably. It feels like a very influential show. And that was what was funny too. The idea of like, they'd be like, sometimes with modeling, it's windy outside. So we're going to put you in a wind tunnel with a blindfold and put you upside down. And like they would exaggerate it so much.
Wild things.
Wow. It's like, this is never, they'll be like, you're out of your comfort zone. So today you're going to eat spiders while you're taking the photos. It's like, what are we doing? It's like crazy.
They're like, I don't want to model anymore.
That's exactly. Wild.
Yeah, it was wild. What a time. Yeah.
What a time.
That's why we'd love talking about this stuff, though, because it can never be done again in the same. Some things for a good reason. Some of those things we're going to leave back in the 90s and 2000s. But the whole nostalgic thing and the way we felt watching them. It's the best.
Do you guys remember, speaking of VH1, did you ever watch this? Was it The Surreal Life where like they got all the celebrities? I still have an 8x10 from when I was in middle school and was at Chicago Comic Con. And it's of the guy who played Peter Brady, Christopher Knight. And was he married to Adriana?
Who was from America's Next Top Model, David.
Yes.
She won season one.
Whoa. What a circle here.
Yeah.
What a circle.
I think we just solved the universe.
Yeah. I think we literally did, because David has never seen it and somehow brought this up.
Yeah, we just figured out the equation of gravity. So yeah, his wife was the very first winner of ANTM.
Mm-hmm.
ANTM.
Surreal Life was wild.
Oh my, Vern Troyer, I remember, like, I will never forget watching the scene and like he's like going around in the middle of the night just peeing on the walls.
I'm trying to remember, what was the premise of that show, that they were sober? But
I think it was just celebrities living in a house together.
But it was just surreal. I think
that was just, it was so surreal.
It was like, let's just see what they get up to.
That was like the thing with back then. Every reality show was like, we put a bunch of crazy people in a house. It was like every show. They didn't need like a hug.
Oh, it's so true. Like, you brought up the challenge, David. We still watch that show. And they talk about how like some of the older contestants are like, we used to just show up on an island with a bunch of booze and just like screw around. Like, they weren't really trying. And now these are like people train for months to be on this show. They are strong and fit and they're going for the money. There's no alcohol. It's so different. They take it so seriously now.
Gosh, we're talking about reality shows. A huge one for me was Fear Factor.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Just the bugs. Anything
was that one
bugs
for you guys?
Yeah,
that was like a really big one for me. Mm-hmm. Early Joe Rogan. I, for some reason, that show, like, I took it very seriously. Like, I was like, this is like really meaningful, like big TV. Like, these people are brave. Like, it just felt very important. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, it was Fear Factor for us, and then also Survivor was a huge one. Mm-hmm. We were just like glued to Survivor.
Survivor, yeah.
It was on like Thursday nights.
It was Thursdays. Yeah, Fear Factor was Monday and Survivor was Thursdays. I remember that.
Oh, you tried to pile into one bed. Yeah, they did.
Yes. I didn't see it, but
it didn't work as well for some reason.
Probably because people are just doing it on social media for likes now anyway.
That's true.
Like, people are doing it for free. It was like back then, it was like, I'll only do this.
You can only watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's like, if I get 10 likes, I'll eat 10 bull testicles. People just, people just want the attention.
It's so true.
Yeah. That's probably why.
Okay. We've talked a lot about TV shows, but before we go, let's cover some music that you loved growing up.
Okay. So I feel like I have two older sisters. So obviously, like, they had NSYNC and Backstreet Boys CDs. Mm-hmm. So I feel like those were pretty important. I feel like they loved Spice Girls. I feel like I wanted to like the Spice Girls, but like, I didn't feel like I could as like a 7-year-old boy. Cause like, that was like girl music. Whereas like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys were cool.
They were boys.
They were boys. I think if I think about like the first music that kind of felt like it was mine, I loved and still really like Ben Folds. Like, that was a very meaningful artist to me. Like, I bought Rock in the Suburbs and like listened to it while I mowed the lawn on a Walkman kind of energy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I feel like that did open the door for me in like middle school to like get into more like kind of alt indie. Like, I loved like the Postal Service and Death Cab for Cutie and like kind of like the sub pop, like post grunge, more like kind of folky rock Americana, the Shins, like that kind of Wilco. I feel like that was like kind of my music vibe.
Okay.
I feel like when I was in middle school, that's when a lot of those kinds of like being a fan of like a band was really cool rather than like a pop band.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what was it, Warped Tour? Like, you would go to like Warped Tour and there was like all these different performers and artists. Yeah, everyone was there.
Warped Tour is still a thing. I feel like Warped Tour is like a little rocky for me. Mm-hmm. I was more like, give me like, like Death Cab, I feel like was like a great version of like a band that I would like loved. Cause it was more like singer-songwriter, indie rock kind of vibe.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
What about you all? What do you think of like your old, is it more like singers? Like, cause I was never into like Mariah Carey, like, but I don't dislike them, but I wasn't into like the singer-songwriter thing as much.
I mean, I feel like, I mean, we both loved Britney growing up and still do. Yeah, I mean, when it came to Backstreet versus NSYNC, I was always more NSYNC because that was my very first concert.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And S Club 7 was obsessed with their show and their band. Yes, they're coming to LA in February. We can't wait.
Can't wait.
Yeah. You know what? Bewitched was a good one for me.
Oh my God. C'est la vie is iconic.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
For me, it was the one about hanging out in a treehouse. Is that something?
Well,
hey boy, sitting in the tree.
Yeah. Mama always wants you to come for tea.
Which is that's C'est la vie.
Oh, that's C'est la vie.
It's a classic.
There was one, but there was one about blowing someone away. That's also, it's all the same song.
I just keep saying lines.
I mean, there was one about,
like, but no, like, there was also song. This one.
Saying you will and saying you won't, saying you'll do what you don't, like that one.
We interview them and only ask about the same song like 100 different ways.
Bring it up.
So how did you come up with this line in it?
They're like, yep, still the same song. That's
like,
still it.
Like, how do we get
first concerts. Zoo? That's a fun. So David, your first concert was NSYNC. Grace.
NSYNC, yeah.
What was you?
Okay, my first concert, this isn't even going to stand out. It was an Irish band called Blackthorn. But okay. that was technically my first concert, but then it would be Backstreet Boys.
Nice. Those are, my first concert, I went to a Janet Jackson concert with my dad, which is very weird because neither of us are even fans of Janet Jackson. But he won the tickets on the radio. So he was just like, do you want to go to a concert? And I was like very young. And her concert, she sang Nasty. Like, it was like, there's some dirty songs.
Yeah. She, yeah, for kids.
Yeah. So my dad and I were just kind of like, interesting, but we had a great time. It was very sweet of my dad. It was just so not even close to something either of us wanted to cared about, which is hilarious.
Like, I feel like that's also nostalgic, winning concert tickets on the radio.
100%. And they seemed so famous. Radio DJs were like,
you were like, I'm talking to you. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Who were your DJs?
Well,
mine was Rob Cruz.
I can't think of who mine was.
I know. I always know, like I grew up on the East Coast, so we had like Q102. You know, and that was always a big one that we would listen to. But even like Radio Disney, I don't remember the Radio Disney hosts though. I can't remember who they were or the DJs.
Do you remember the song?
Radio Disney, we're all ears.
Oh yeah.
And Radio Disney was only on AM radio.
Yes. Yeah,
good times.
Oh my god,
we could talk about this stuff for hours.
Forever.
100%. I know.
That's why, Jeff, you're like always invited back. You can honestly just like, we'll send you our Zoom links every week, and you can pop in if you want.
Say hi.
You know,
you guys are
even
the
if
best.
There's a guest, you can just.
I'll
pop
come
in.
Back to the best podcast there is.
Well, that was good.
That was
thank
great.
You.
That was good. Tell everybody where they can find you online.
Yes.
I'm not great at social media, but I'm on Instagram some. It's Jeffrey Crane Graham, which is just my name. And if you're Googling me as like a director, that's what I go by professionally. And then that's probably the only platform that I'm really doing stuff. But you can also follow the movie. That's probably better. And that's what my distributor want me to say. So that's always Lola Film everywhere online.
Great. And we'll tag it on BTTB podcast. So that way people can find it there too.
Yeah, everybody, make sure to show it some love. If you're listening to this, it's the weekend. Whenever you're home, just watch the movie, check it out. You're going to love it.
Thanks,
it has a perfect score.
Right?
It has
for
a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. You guys know how we love Rotten Tomatoes. It's perfect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, watch it before the score drops. Get in soon.
And then leave it another 100% rating after you're done watching it.
Yes, 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 yes. Let's keep
it
there.
We got one audience review that was just half a star, but it was like gibberish. I will say the barrier to entry to leave a Rotten Tomatoes review as a non-critic is nothing. It is so easy.
We'll go leave one right now.
We'll leave one. Yeah, I was going to say we'll leave one.
Yes.
Thank you so much again for coming on.
Yes.
I'm so happy we finally did this.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was everything I dreamed.
Oh, same. Honestly, same.
Yes.
All right. Well,
so good to see everyone.
You too, Jeff. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, I know everybody from last week tuned in this week to talk about what we said we were going to talk about. One Tree Hill.
Where? I don't think I have the update. Where are you in it?
I'm done.
Oh, you're completely done.
Finished. I watched it way too quick. And now, thank God, because I was going through kind of a depression because I missed it, because it's like all I did in my free time. I was on a plane a few weeks ago. downloaded 5 or 6 episodes, watched it nonstop there and back. And then I finished it and I was like, oh, it's over. But then I was Googling it. I forgot there's a rewatch podcast. So now I'm just going to go back and relive the last few months of my life now through a audio format.
Now, are you the type of person that, you know, if you're like just trying to wind down at night or you just want to put something on, will you rewatch a show that you have seen a lot? Or are you the type that you just like, do you have a comfort show or do you just move on to something new?
There's only a few shows. I mean, I feel like a lot of people rewatch Friends. Like Friends is one I can just turn on anytime, especially like if I like don't want to like have to focus on something. Like if I just want to scroll on my phone, I'll throw Friends on. The show I've probably watched the most is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I don't even know how many times I've watched that.
Yeah. Like I feel like One Tree Hill could kind of, it could fit into that just because there's so many seasons and so many episodes. Because
yours is Gilmore Girls.
Oh my God. Yeah. I put it on last night. Like when I just, if I'm like maybe doing like some work and I want something in the background, or if I'm just like looking to wind down, sometimes if I'm like this one time we were staying at this place, it was like, I thought the place was haunted and I was scared. So I put on Gilmore Girls because it's like a comfort show.
It is. It is such a good show to just put on whenever. Especially in the fall and the winter. Smell the snow.
It's a very cozy show. It's a cozy, cozy show. So, but you loved One Tree Hill.
Loved it. And also I feel like it's rare. I'm trying to think of other shows that have done this, but I feel like a time jump in a show is hard. Like, I don't know if it really worked with Pretty Little Liars.
I know. I feel like there was a lot of flack about what Pretty Little Liars did with the time jump. It is tough. They don't always work, but I agree. I think in One Tree Hill, it did work.
Although I don't want to like spoil anything, so I won't be too specific, but I was shocked when two of the main characters just up and left the show. I knew nothing about this show going in. I knew no spoilers. I did know one of them was going to leave. So I was like prepared for that. But whenever they both left at the same time, floored. One of them only comes back for one episode and the other never comes back.
I know. You hate to see it. I don't know if I asked you, what made you start watching that show? Like, did you hear about it from a friend? Like, you obviously knew what it was, but was it just you were looking for a show to binge?
I was looking for a show to binge, and I remember our friend Jacob always talking about One Tree Hill, and then I was just scrolling on Hulu one day, and for some reason, it was on my homepage, and I said, sure.
Another question. Did it take you a while to get into it? Like, you know how the first season of shows, sometimes people can, like, drop off? Did you feel that way?
I had watched the first episode a while ago and then never continued. And then I gave it 2 episodes and that's what it took.
I wish, did you ever see when we worked at WB, the basketball net?
I have a picture. Yeah. I remember being like, maybe one day I'll care about this. And the day has come
now
6
do.
Years later.
It was so hard to get to, like on the lot where that is, or I don't know if it's still there, but I remember when I would have the occasional like people being like, do you have anything from One Tree Hill? I'd be like, there's one thing, and you couldn't always get to it. Like you couldn't, because you had to reverse, like you couldn't turn around.
I never took anyone to see it. I'm sorry if you ever took my tour and were a One Tree Hill fan. Never took any tour.
One time I did.
But if you haven't seen One Tree Hill, I know that this episode is about Jeff and not about One Tree Hill, but we're, you know, just doing a little One Tree Hill recap. Everyone go watch it and then let us know what you think.
It's a big part of your life.
Of my life?
Your life. Yeah.
I know. I always think whenever I'm watching a show that happened in the 90s and the 2000s, but you're watching it now for the first time, I always think, how did people wait a week?
Oh my God. Because like Netflix is doing that thing now where they'll release like 5 episodes at a time and then having to wait. How did we do that?
It's awful.
We did it constantly. That's awful.
9 years of a show that people were waiting every week.
Every single week.
And then summer breaks, winter breaks.
And you'd only get one episode. With commercials, it was like 40 minutes.
I mean, I guess.
And you'd
wait
for that.
I'm trying to think of what, I mean, I still watch like, I'm trying to think of network shows I still watch. Like Grey's Anatomy, we still get it that way. Abbott Elementary. Mm-hmm. But even then, I'm watching it on Hulu. So at least there's still no commercials. But it's still the waiting.
And I feel like like when, of course, when I'd watch these shows when I was younger, I would, I remember an episode ending being like, oh my God, now I can't wait for the one next time. But I think I would just move on because there was no other thought. There was no other op. Like, you never even thought they're going to release this whole season at once, right? It was like, nobody thought that. That was such a far out thought. But now that we have that, when shows don't give the whole season, you just can't.
Oh, you're Apple TV, impatient. None of them, none of the ones on Apple TV. You get three to start and then you got to wait.
Then you got to wait. It's so hard. But you know what you don't have to wait for?
Yes.
Did we both do it?
We both have to do it.
David and I are so in sync today. We both were going to say you don't have to wait for.
Were you going
to
say Always Lola?
Okay, no. I was going to say like for a movie, like a next episode of a movie, you can just watch the whole movie.
We're still on sync.
And we're still on the same page.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. You say your line and then I'll say my line. You go first.
Okay, perfect. Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know what you don't have to wait for?
What?
Another episode for a movie. You can just watch the whole thing all at once.
And while we're just randomly here talking about movies that you don't have to wait for, you do not have to wait for Always Lola. You can pop on your TV, hit the power button on your television, and go to whatever app you want to go rent your film on and search Always Lola. 100% Rotten Tomatoes score.
And after you watch Always Lola, just make sure you keep that score at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. We're going to keep it there. Just show it all the love because it really is such a great movie. And as you just heard, Jeff worked so hard to get this movie made. They made it. What did he say? Like 10 days? It was like it's so
crazy
quick.
Fast shoot. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just had nothing but amazing things to say about the experience, about the actors that he worked with, just putting this movie together. And like he said, it was sort of a personal story for him, kind of something based off of a friend in his life. And Jeff is just such a nice person, and he's just very, very talented and amazing. And we just hope that you all go show Always Lola so much love.
He's so deserving of it. And you can go see the cast of this film, everything on their Instagram, which is at Always Lola Film. So go follow them.
Yes.
Share about this movie. And then you can also go follow Jeff, which his Instagram is at Jeffrey Crane Graham. And then you can hop on over to us at BTTB Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Back to the Best on TikTok and Facebook, and our website, BTTBpodcast.com.
And you can leave us a 5-star review if
we'd
you want.
Love it.
You know,
I mean,
we'd love it. It's Christmas. It's the holidays.
It's the
we'd
holidays. If you want to leave us one below 5, that's fine. But we do ask that you message us first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Send us a message. You can message us on Instagram, on our website. We love the chat if you can't.
Yeah. Only a nice message, too. We only like nice things.
Yeah. Please leave us a nice message.
We don't handle negativity well.
No, we don't like it.
But you know what we do also like?
Nice. What? Nice.
When you tune in next week.
We would love it.
Where we
love it.
We're going to keep
tell
taking
them what
you.
We're going to do.
We're going to keep taking
we're
you back
keep
to the best.
Taking you back to the best, everyone. Thanks for being here. We love you. Ooh. How did we feel about the kisses?
Love it. But I also didn't hate it, so we're going to leave it in.
Okay, we're going to leave it in. You're welcome.
Bye.
Ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays. Bye.